Bonjour.
Hello everyone.
Bienvenue à la.
Welcome to the presentation of AXA's 2023 annual results and new strategic plan for the period 2024-2026.
Ça sera aussi.
This will as well be an opportunity for me to review the year's highlights and, of course, unveil the pillars of our next plan.
Je suis ici aujourd'hui avec.
I am here with Frédéric de Courtois, and I will hand it over to him afterwards regarding the details of the execution of our strategic plan, followed by Alban de Mailly Nesle, who will then outline our financial targets for our 2024-2026 plan. The members of the executive committee are present as well with me, and in our exchanges with your questions, we will also include them to see together how we can answer your questions. Look, let me start now with the first slide.
Vous savez que.
As you know.
Résultats ont été produits.
Earnings took place in a context that was very uncertain, and you can see this.
N'importe quelle entreprise.
In any company. With any retailer. The world has been uncertain and probably will remain so. Despite this environment, you notice that AXA achieved this year again excellent results, proving that the successful transformation of the group that we initiated since 2016 is definitely a success. Why is it successful? First of all, our premiums are up by 3%.
103 billion euros,
and certainly this illustrates the very good momentum driven by our main business lines.
Deuxièmement.
Secondly, this growth is profitable.
Résultats opérationnels.
The underlying earnings are up by 6% to 7.6 billion euros.
On voit aussi que.
And in addition, you see that our underlying earnings per share rose by 8% this year, well above the target range of our Driving Plan progress.
Tout ça.
All of this.
Se passe
sur. Is taking place with a very solid balance sheet.
Atteint une.
We reach a solvency ratio of 227%, up by 12 points.
Ces résultats.
These yearly results do demonstrate once again our ability to deliver.
Une belle performance.
A solid performance.
Et qui est vraiment.
Which is really fully in line with our objectives.
Je suis très fier.
I am very proud of this work that has been carried out and was clearly done by our teams.
On va voir.
And we will go now into further details in a few moments. I'd like to thank again our teams, our agents, who together were successful with this beautiful performance.
Si on.
Now.
Souligner.
If we were to underscore two companies that are really key.
Ces résultats.
In regard to these earnings, it's clearly AXA XL and AXA France. The profitability of AXA XL is excellent. We see that the underlying earnings are approaching 2 billion euros, and I know that at the time when we announced.
La transaction avec.
The transaction with XL, there were many questions around this, and hopefully, I hope that with these results today and with the integration of XL that has been successful, we have put aside these questions. Now, AXA France, on the other hand, did confirm its position as a leader. Its activity is growing despite the fact that AXA France has been working in an environment that was not easy. You will recall the riots last year. You will recall as well the climate-related event in 2023. The year was very demanding for AXA France. So despite these impacts, AXA France was able to increase its results by 9% while being capable to pay out 450 million claims, in particular for weather-related risks, and on the, with customer satisfaction, which is on the rise. In particular now, I would like to extend my thanks and salute the work of the teams and agents who worked really hard in a challenging environment and were able to make this result a real success. Now, if we now take a look at easier clients in detail, I said that our premiums are up by 3%. It's a good momentum underlying each business line that you can see here. Let me start with property and casualty. It's up by 7% and to 53 billion euros. And truly, this is a business line which is key, and we are the largest insurer for companies in the world and a major one in Europe for retail risk. And we can see that our development strategy, on the one hand, which is growing in these business lines and serving better the needs of our results, and on the other hand, we have a major pricing discipline and has led us to this beautiful 7% growth of our earnings. Now, on the seventh segment, which is life and pensions, which remains significant for us with about one-third of our results, and in terms of earnings, in this case, we are up by 1%, and once again, very much driven by protection, and certainly as well by life and savings products, which are capital light. This is a segment which for us remains really vital, and certainly due to the fact that the needs among the population in regard to protection and pensions are still substantial and will be growing in the future. The third major business line is health, with about 16% of our revenues. You can see here that the context in this business has been challenging now following an adverse environment in the United Kingdom, and this is the reason why we see a decline in our earnings. In addition to this adverse account in the UK, we decided not to renew two major group contracts that account for this minus 7%. If I strip out these non-renewables, we see 7% of growth. In other words, this business line, which for us is significant as well, it remains a business line. Well, apart from these non-renewal of the contracts, is actually increasing the results. So then we have the asset management business line, which has also been working in a challenging environment with high volatility in the market and certainly an increase in interest rates, that is, assets are down, and here we see a slight decline. However, it's important for us to continue on our path, especially with a growth-related strategy in alternative assets such as real estate or private debt. So you can see, all in all, that AXA is extremely well positioned, and certainly AXA is very well balanced. We have about 50% of our business with commercial clients and 50% with retail clients. And underlying all of this is a geographic diversification that is such that we succeeded despite a context which remained quite demanding. Looking now at the plan which is ending soon, which is called the Driving Progress Plan, we can see that these are very good results for 2023, and they certainly contributed extremely well for the end of this Driving Progress Plan. because as a matter of fact, we outperformed in most of these results. If we take a close look now at our underlying earnings per share, they are up by 9%. In other words, that's 2 points above the top end of our target range. In this case, we did outperform. Looking now at the second target, that is the cumulative cash at the cash remittance, we are at 2.4 billion higher than the initially forecast, and it amounts to 16.4 billion euros. Now the solvency ratio, at the time we were considering a target of 190%, 190, and now at the end of the plan, as a matter of fact, we are reaching 227%, and once again well above our target. Finally, the return on equity, the ROE, is at the top end of our target range of 13 to 15% with 14.9%. These results testify again to the great collective efforts that we have all made together in a AXA transition which has been deep since 2016, and we are reaching now the end of this major transformation and this new AXA, because once again the company is called AXA, but behind it and within it there's completely different things compared to 26. This new AXA is also the base for our future successes. What has been taking place since 2016? We simplified our organization. We focused on fewer geographies, but we focused on major market shares. So we have a geographic mix which is better focused, but well distributed. Secondly, we switched our exposure mainly from financial risk towards technical risk, especially the acquisition of AXA XL. Was testified to this, and you also noticed that the integration has been a success. The integration of AXA XL has been a success within the AXA group. Looking now at the current environment and what it means for our plan, we can see that AXA today is well positioned. Look, I think that the current environment that we have been seen for the past 3 years or so will remain at the same level of volatility and uncertainties. We succeeded now for 3 years to perform well in a challenging and volatile environment, and I'm confident that we will continue on this trajectory. So why do I feel confident? Well, firstly, as I mentioned before, our business mix is diversified in terms of the business lines, but as far as our geographic footprint goes, in every geographies where we are, we have significant positions that are solid, if it is whether in France or in Europe, but also in emerging markets, where we focused, by the way, on fewer markets, but in the markets where we are very strong. And lately, we were able to adjust our range of products, our service offer. For example, today, if we talk about climate change, where very often the question that is raised, is the client insurable? Yes, it remains insurable, quote-unquote, provided that we promote far more promotion and help our clients with protection. This is why AXA France, at the start of this week, launched a significant initiative with the green cover. We'll talk about it certainly later on. And what I see what AXA Climate did with 200 scientists, experts in the climate, to help our clients be better protected against the next storm. This is the direction that we are taking and must take. So beyond This question that relates to environment, as I underlined before, AXA today is also a perfectly balanced business model, and this model is very specific, very unique. You don't find any competitor who holds the same profile and the same portfolio. So, with regard to commercial lines, which represents about 50% of our volume, we today are the largest insurer in the world for commercial lines, for their physical goods such as buildings and plants, but also for the human, for employees. And secondly, with our tighter footprint, we are one of the leaders in EB, commercial and retail business, and we're very strong in life and health, and this is where precisely our business, which is about asset management, is goes well in line with our leadership in Europe, because in the life insurance business, in the pension insurance life, it's very important to have a good pool, but also a good manager for financial products for our clients. Finally, if we now look at AXA today, it is also a company that has strengthened its commitment towards its employees. Because what is insurance about? Well, you buy a promise, and you buy a promise from someone or for someone who's a human being. So this is why it's very important that the commitment of our employees and the support we provide in the professional life of our employees is very important. And so we launched, under leadership of Karim Sylvain, a group human resources director, we have program We Care. We underline significantly the care aspect. In other words, how can we help our employees to remain committed and continue to get trained in this world which is constantly on the move. Secondly, AXA has always been a company highly committed when it comes to the weather and wants to remain a leader in regard to climate transition. You noticed that you were the first at the time who moved away from the coal industry, and since 2015 we have invested 26 million into investments in order to really fight against global warming. And you also notice that for the first time we have also published our decarbonization targets for some of our property and casualty insurance portfolios. That is, as an investor and insurer in the fight against global warming, is significant, substantial, and we remain so over time. And our philosophy is not to penalize, it is to provide support to the companies and the retailers in this climate transition. And this is what I have just mentioned for AXA France. And the question of green cover follows that particular spirit. And this commitment in the society at large is, truly speaking, our philosophy and at the heart of AXA, and has been so for 40 years. This question of sharing the value among the stakeholders is really key for us, and we want to make sure that things are fair and balanced. Now, if I start with our employees, our people, we are certainly a major employer in France and around the globe, with 8.6 billion euros in salaries and bonuses around the globe. And in terms of recruitment, we are extremely active, and we will remain so. It is also important to do some nearshoring and offshoring in order to find the right skills. But if ever we feel like making a major growth bet in the next plan, we need to continue to hire. Now, regarding our customers, you can see 50 billion of euros in compensation, certainly in the tough and challenging moments, as spoken before, like the climate changes and the riots, it is very important to remain close to our customers and help them. And certainly, when it comes to the support we provide to companies, we are insuring them and we are investing. Of course, we are a major contributor to in terms of French taxation and around the globe with about 12 billion in taxes. AXA is a company which remains highly committed but also has major shareholders, and this is why we certainly make sure that the shareholders' size is taken care of with a dividend which is up to the progression of our earnings, but also at the level of the expectations compared to our competitors. I'm very happy to notice that 30% of our employees are also shareholders. So this gives us a good basis for the future, a good foundation. Let me talk now on the next chapter of the group, which is the 2024 to 26 plan, which is called Unlock the Future. In other words, it is an ambitious plan. It's a plan that is focusing on growth. It is focusing on innovation, and certainly a plan which is aims to invest. So what are the dimensions and the pillars of such a plan? Well, first of all, it's about accelerating organic growth. We have a beautiful platform with AXA today. We have created a new AXA, and now in the next phase, it's about speeding up even further organic growth. Second item, we want to continue to shore up our excellence, not only technically, but also operationally, and certainly with the new technology means. And thirdly, we want to further assert our role at the heart of society at large. Now, how do we want to go about this? In regard to growth, we will certainly be focusing in areas where we are not present yet. We want to focus as well on more recruitment investments, and Frédéric will come back with further details in a little while. Now, in terms of technical and operational excellence, as I said, the use of data and the use of technological means, in particular artificial intelligence, will give us the means to do better, in other words, better pricing, better manage claims, and also better manage customer service through automation. And now the third pillar, it is how can AXA remain and become even stronger when it comes to society. It remains a major issue. I said we will continue our efforts with AXA Climate, on the climate, and also with the green cover, this, as I mentioned, for AXA France, but also we want to come up with a new chapter of our societal commitment with inclusive insurance for more modest clients and SMEs. Many, a large part of French people either can't afford to buy insurance or are excluded. We want to start in France with a new range of products to take care of such needs, and after that, we want to offer that in European markets.
Pour confirmer,
to confirm and establish the fact that we are committed to go even further with our next plan, we are setting ourselves, once again, ambitious financial targets that go beyond the targets of our last plan, and which are characterized by the fact that now we want to unlock the future. In other words, take this beautiful AXA company and do better and do more. How do we go about this? With underlying earnings per share, which we want to reach between 6 to 8%. That's the target range. And the target return on equity or capital between 14 and 16%, and also cash remittance exceeding 21 billion euros by 2026. This requires definitely investments, and we certainly have planned investments by more than 2.5 billion over the next 3 years. Now, in technology that I mentioned, but also in the growth area, because growth, after all, requires investments. Today, you have seen we also offer an attractive capital management policy for our shareholders. This discipline and the operational performance help us to propose a dividend that is higher and to launch a new share buyback program, and we reinforce this payout distribution plan. Will stick with us for the next plan.
Frédéric
will now go into the specifics, what this plan means and how we want to execute it. Over to Frédéric.
Thank you, Thomas. Good morning, everybody. Thomas talked about the ambition of our plan. Today, I'm going to talk about the implementation of the business. The starting point, as you understood, is excellent. Our plan is not a revolution. Our plan is an evolution, and an ambitious evolution or change. It is based on a portfolio of initiatives that is extremely ambitious. What is the starting point? It's our franchise, and as you can see, it's excellent. In our three businesses that I will quickly review, the first is commercial insurance with 35 billion in premium income. That means very large corporations, multinationals, and including small businesses, and includes very small businesses, insurance of infrastructure, and so on and so forth. The second business is health and employee benefits. As you know, that coverage of employees in a company, in other words, benefit schemes and health insurance, a business line in which we generate 20 billion in premium income, and then afterwards in retail insurance, which we underwrite in some 20 countries with about 42 billion. And if we look at our position in that, we are probably, there aren't any clear statistics or official statistics, we are probably number one in commercial insurance at 35 billion, which is by definition a global business that we do in every country. If we look at health and employee benefits, we are clearly number one in Europe in health insurance, and we are probably number one worldwide, excluding the US, in EB. In individual health and individual insurance, retail insurance, we are generally in the top three in our main markets, which are, as you know, Western Europe, Hong Kong, Japan, and a number of emerging nations. Thomas, on the following page, talked about the five pillars of our plan, three objectives, three priorities, and two resources, as you can see on this page. I'd like to emphasize two messages. The first is that our plan is really a plan of investment in our core businesses, which is insurance and asset management in countries where we already operate. So we don't mean to plant the flags in new countries. We are kind of focusing on our core business lines. The second message is that the major novelty of our plan is to scale. I was trying to find a better way of saying scaling up. So, scaling up what we do. It's easy to have use cases and pilot tests and what have you. The whole point is to put it on an industrial scale. And the aim of this is in particular to do this in technology and technical excellence. I will quickly review the five pillars of our plan, starting with the pillar of accelerating organic growth. We don't have an objective because we're not there with targets for premium income, but we do have an ambition, is to increase premium income in the next plan by 5% per year. In general, we believe we can grow P&C commercial lines beyond GDP. It's in other words, something that grows faster than GDP. Same thing for employee benefits and health. So outperform, therefore, GDP growth, and growth in line with GDP for retail insurance. That's the general aim. What we've done since then, we worked in 2033 on a portfolio of initiatives of organic growth. And today, we have a portfolio of 100 initiatives to accelerate growth. These are sometimes local initiatives, sometimes transversal ones throughout the group. So just to mention a few, in commercial P&C, a very important initiative is hedging of ETI, of small and medium-sized businesses. Why very small ones? We've got a very good position with AXA XL, and we've also got a very good position on our markets in small businesses. In very small companies, we worked out that we had a good position only in four countries, France, Belgium, Germany, and Switzerland, and our aim is to extend this business to other countries in Europe, selectively in the U.S. The project started in 2023 and is a very ambitious one. We think we have everything we need to succeed. We know the business. We have the ability to propose, and that's very important for this global coverage. And I think we have all the wherewithal to do this and to succeed. A second major growth point is all the new risk lines, the risks of the 21st century. Now that, in particular, is cyber insurance and the energy transition insurance. For an insurer, it's terrible because we don't have any historic data, and insurance means pricing based on historic data. We decided to be bold, to invest, to create centers of expertise, and learn gradually to acquire and expand on cyber. We're already one of the top three insurers, globally speaking, and better cover the energy transition in employee benefits and health, which is also experiencing strong growth. Our major initiative is to develop employee benefits for small businesses. Generally, employees of large corporations are normally quite well covered, and smaller businesses have far less good coverage. We decided to invest in this, and we have a tech company, an internal tech company, that's called EB Partners, that develops tools, technological tools, and services for HR divisions in large corporations and small businesses, and for this. And we're already basing ourselves on this. We're going to use it to expand our small business market. In retail P&C, we have three major initiatives. The first is to expand our proprietary distribution network, our agents and employees, which is quite new because we used to focus in recent years on improving productivity. Here we're focusing on both productivity, and I'll get back to this, and also in the volume. In other words, we want to increase the size of our proprietary network of agents and employees, and we are strongly committed to the idea that this is fundamentally the best investment we could make. The second initiative in growth is still to improve productivity, and once again, artificial intelligence will help us. In the previous plan, we discovered we could sell without physically meeting the client, because we had no choice. COVID forced us to do this. Electronic signatures, Teams, Zooms, all of that. The next phase, however, is the phase of artificial intelligence to help our networks our networks, our agents, and employees to be more productive. The third major initiative is retail, is life insurance and savings, which remains a strategic business, a major opportunity for us. We are very powerful in these fields in France and Japan and Hong Kong, but we can always do better. And we face major opportunities for growth in Belgium, Germany, Switzerland, but also in Asia. So we decided to invest and accelerate growth in life insurance. The next chapter is to enhance technical excellence, which is both operational and technical. In technical excellence, I can mention three issues. The first is that we're very focused on AI, tech, data, and satellite photographs. All these new technologies now have the maturity for us to improve our technical excellence and pricing, along with the coverage that we offer our clients. The second major issue is better coverage of natural catastrophes. It's clear that there are more and more of them. It's absolutely clear, it's a fact, it's a given, it's a threat, it's also an opportunity. We have everything we need to cover natural catastrophes. We have an internal model to measure these cases, including the two market standards. We have an underwriting tool to ensure a consistent underwriting of natural catastrophes. We are investing in AI and satellite imagery, and we will continue to ensure natural catastrophes. The third issue, we want to invest and further develop more services. Yeah, I talked about MPEB and health, but a quick word for commercial insurance. We have these major ecosystems that we call the digital commercial platform. It's an ecosystem of services for companies that has a very promising start, and it's part of one of these initiatives. And for us, it always means service to companies and more prevention. In operational excellence, again, three major issues. Firstly, investing and concluding the fundamentals, and one of the major steps is the completion of our transition to the cloud by the end of our plan in 2026. Second major issue is to automate all simple tasks that are specifically the tasks where we find it difficult to hire. So automate those. That is vital to us. And the third is, as I said before, the scale-up of all our use cases and pilots in AI and data. We have 400 experiments and pilots in the group that are already operational, but we decided to select, to try to continue with those 400, but select 17 of them that had a potential to be implemented throughout the group. And we will roll them out throughout the group in the next few years. And moving on to the next pillar, which is Thomas mentioned our role in society. I'd like to remind you that we have a fantastic purpose, which is a vision statement to act for human progress, and we want to be faithful to that purpose. That's every day in our business, so to speak. But in particular, we have two extraordinary initiatives that I'm going to describe briefly. The first is inclusive insurance. What we call inclusive insurance is insurance of people who have low incomes. Insuring people who need even more insurance, but don't have the means to get the right insurance coverage. It's not a new business for us, because some years ago we launched in Emerging Nations. We have a business unit that focuses on inclusive insurance. The schools act for emerging customers, and we've already got 14 million customers in these emerging segments. The major novelty for us is that it would be useful to do this in mature countries, so primarily Western Europe, and we decided to start off in France and then extend it throughout Europe, and you will see new offerings this year. It's an issue of product, pricing, and distribution. And to take the example of France, networks will be mobilized about this. It could be direct assurance agents and employee networks. That, for us, is a major initiative in the next plan. The second major initiative, which is nothing new, is what are we going to do with the climate transition. As you know, we've already been very active in our carbon footprint and for our portfolio of plans. We've done a lot already. The new thing here is we want to expand it along two axes. This will offer, the firstly, more services for adaptation and prevention. I talked about our commercial services. I talked about AXA Climate. Thomas talked about the green guarantee of AXA France. That's the first axis for growth and expansion. And the second, and I talked about this when I was talking about commercial lines, it's ensuring or protecting the energy transition, which is something where corporations and commercial lines find it difficult to find a partner, and there we have a very legitimate position. Final chapter, very briefly, which is something for men and women. I'm used to saying that insurance company is people, technology, and money. That's an insurance company. We don't have factories, we don't have patents, and I think the biggest challenge facing a company like AXA in the next 10 years is the people issue. It's the men and the women in it. And that's why we have a strategy that is ambitious with three chapters. First is talent management and culture, where the major challenge is how can we continue to attract young people and retain them, and how can we retain our seniors and ensure that they impart their know-how to other people in the company when they leave, when they retire. That's the first issue. The second major issue is the increase or the development of skills, skill sets. As I said, insurance has been profoundly changed by AI and data, and we have to improve our team skills and invest in this issue. And finally, the idea of D&I and care, which is important in itself, and also important to attract and retain talented employees. Conclusion, therefore, I believe, but I'm completely subjective, that we have a good plan. I'm convinced that we have a good team, and a genuine one, and we have a motivated team. We measure an employee satisfaction twice a year, and see what it is, and it's at an all-time high. We're at a score, it's that the NPS is very high. We can do even better, however, but it's very encouraging. And finally, we have in our team a very good track record because we've achieved or exceeded the objectives of our previous plan. That makes me very, very confident about the implementation of our next plan. Thank you. So, good morning, everybody. Now I'm going to present what Thomas and Frederick talked about in the plan, how this will be reflected in our figures in the next 3 years. Before looking at the future, it would be interesting, as Frederick referred to before, to look at our track record. And if we look at our underlying earnings since 2016 in this slide, you can see this underlying earnings trend has grown at an extremely regular way from the millennium until 2023, with the exception of 2020, which is COVID-related. That shows our ability to enhance our margins year on year, but also to manage volatility and also, in particular, natural catastrophes. If we look more specifically at the figures of 2023, full-year earnings amounted to 7.6 billion. It's a 6% increase. It's in line and even above the guidance we initially issued at the beginning of last year with the passage of IFRS. Everyone was a little bit lost. We said we'd do over 7.5 in underlying earnings, and in fact we got to 7.6 in underlying earnings. Our net earnings that have to be compared to IFRS 4, and I'm sorry, in the next few slides I'm going to switch between IFRS 4 and 17 on net results, underlying earnings, compared to last year, rose by 10%, which is a fine performance, driven by all our business lines, and in particular, the P&C earnings at 5 billion, which was up by 14%. If I look at solvency, is included at 227%, a very high level, up by 12 points over the end of 2022. And what you should retain from these figures is two things. Firstly, we generate an awful lot of solvency every year. Last year, it was 29 points in solvency, so we gave a range of 24 to 31, so we generate a lot every year. Obviously, we give an awful lot back to our shareholders through the buyback of shares and dividends, 22 points, but we still generate a lot of solvency year on year. Another thing to retain are the plus 12 points that you can see on. You can see management of aid that we massively reduce our own risk and our exposure to interest rates. In reducing these financial risks, we've reduced our EOF and we've improved, therefore, our solvency margin. On this slide, you can also see the treasury, the cash amount that we remit from our entities. As you know, it's a point that we emphasized and have been doing so for some years. Our ability to remit cash is also a key factor to redistribute to our shareholders. But I will insist on this, and this is done after the investments we allocate to growth and technology, not at the cost of these investments. So that's the past. Now let's look at the future in our plan and growth that we are planning for by business line. So in P&C, we believe we can expand our underlying earnings each year by 4 to 6%. What are the drivers in that? The first, which refers to what Frederick said and Thomas said, is growth in our earnings. We believe we can increase our earnings by 5% with a dynamic that's slightly different between the commercial and retail insurance lines. In commercial insurance, it'll be a lot to do with the development of our offering in the intermediary sector and also in supporting new risks, as Frederick mentioned. Whereas in the retail aspects, there, we're talking about productivity gains and growth in our distribution networks that will drive the earnings growth in these sectors. We also believe that we can continue expanding our margins and therefore reducing our combined ratio or our loss ratio by 2 points. How will we do this? By using the techniques that we mentioned before, with better pricing, better claims management, better understanding of our risks, and in particular, thanks to the technology that we've mentioned before. It's also interesting to point out that we believe we can increase our margin by 2 points, but we've also increased what we plan to pay out in natural catastrophes each year. We plan to pay out 4 points in the combined ratio in natural catastrophes, and we'll go up to 4.5 points. Why? Because quite simply, we can all see that the secondary dangers that don't really deserve their name, in other words, drought, flood, hail, will increase. We saw in 2023 and in previous years, it is reasonable and prudent to think this would be a stable phenomenon, so we're increasing our natural catastrophe budget. We will continue our productivity gains, as we've done in the past. A more technical aspect, as you know, in IFRS 17, we have to help with our claims. We have to book our claims differently, so we discount the claims, which you'll find in our P&L. in the years to come, the discount will affect our earnings for 500 million net in our net financial income. That's a purely accounting mechanism, but we have to take account of this, and you'll see in the years to come. Despite all of this, given the growth of our income and the growth in our margin, we do plan on a 4%-6% increase in P&C earnings. If I move on to life insurance, there again, sorry for all the IFRS 17 jargon, but for everything to do with savings, just to make it simple, we are creating a PFM. A PFM is a reservoir of our future profit. We will give up some of this each year, and we believe that we can increase this by 3% each year, at least. There is a whole part, 15 million in income, that equates to health and benefit schemes, so therefore employee benefits. In this part now, we believe that we can increase our income by 6% in top line growth, thanks to initiatives that Frédéric managed to describe. Once again, by increasing our margins, and we believe that in reducing the 15 billion, we can in fact improve our combined ratio by 3 points. Some of this can come through in the U.K. As you know, we suffered in 2023 from the changes in the NHS. That's one of part of the 3-point issue, but also an improvement in margins in benefit schemes and health that we plan on. Therefore, we plan that our net financial results would be stable. That means that globally speaking, we see an increase in our earnings in life and in savings of 4%-6%. In asset management, and as you know, it accounts for about approximately 5% of our earnings. When we look at 2023, there was an awful lot of new inflows of about a third, about 9 billion euros, half of which came from liquidities that we call core, and the other half in alternatives for real estate, private debt, in worth about 4 billion. We think that this net inflow should be reproduced in the years to come, more or less, and should lead to a regular increase in our earnings, underlying earnings of about 7%. In the holding part, there'll be a slight deterioration in the cost of this for several reasons. Firstly, the holding that's carrying the debt. With the increase in interest rates, of course, debt will cost a little bit more. That's the first point. The second point, we are investing in technology, in growth, in our entities, obviously, but also in the holding, and that means increasing our expenses. Third point, the OECD implemented a new tax or system that will ensure that all countries pay at least 15% corporate tax. That will affect us a little in Ireland, in Hong Kong and Bermuda, and that will cost us a little under 100 million. Therefore, if I move on to our global financial targets, our underlying earnings per share, given what I've said about our earnings, should increase by 6%-8% per year. The profitability of our return on underlying return on equity, we gave a target of 13%-15%. We ended up at 14.9%. We will increase this objective, this target, to 14%-16%, which reflects two things. Firstly, we plan on increasing our margins, but also the fact that our required equity has fallen, given what I've said for the reduction of our risks and financial risks in particular. We plan to increase 21 billion in cash from our entities. We set 14 billion in the previous plan. Now we're talking 21 billion. It's a very significant increase. Finally, we have a capital management policy that we are slightly changing. We are saying that in global terms, we will redistribute to our shareholders 75% of our results, of our underlying earnings per share, in the form of dividends and in share buybacks. in the same way that in results there are investments, we have in growth here in the 25% we are not distributing. There we have capital investment for growth that we are allocating. And you have to look at this as a balanced measure between what we give back to our shareholders and what we invest in growth, in future growth. And I'm going to stop there.
Merci, Frédéric. Merci.
Thank you, Frédéric. Thank you, Alban. To sum up, our financial earnings for 2023, as you have seen, are very solid and have shown once again a major commitment for the company, society, and our employees. Secondly, you notice that we ended our Driving Progress plan with a great deal of success. The four financial targets have been achieved or even exceeded. Thirdly, the deep transformation of the plan that we initiated in 2016 has been successful and has been done. It is our foundation for the next plan. You also noted that we're launching this new plan today, which is called Unlock the Future, based on three pillars: speeding up growth, shoring up our technical and operational excellence, and certainly assert our role as a responsible player in society. The key to this success, as you noted, are the skills and the well-being of our people, our employees, as well as a disciplined management of the company and of our capital. I'd really like to take this opportunity to express my gratitude to all the AXA employees and our agents for their commitment towards our customers and towards society at large, because this is not something that goes by itself. It's a major collective effort which is based on the trust of our shareholders, based on the trust of our customers, and this is something that makes me extremely proud. So, you have noted the role of the insurer has completely changed, and you decided to join the insurance business nearly 20 years ago. At the time, the insurer was the one who was paying invoices, and you've noticed now in our presentations and in the major debates that we have that the insurer has become a partner of his or their customers and of society. We're very proud to open up now this new chapter of this new plan and together succeed again in completing this plan and also highlighting the major investment and the major involvement of AXA in society. Let's now switch to your questions, to the Q&A session. I invite my colleagues from the management team to join me on stage.